Which is kind of easy because he exposes his mind to us. I wouldn't deign to try to say, okay, this is what God was thinking unless he told me what he was thinking, because his ways are higher than my ways and his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. But he has privied us to that knowledge, and so we know what he was thinking, because Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us that God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, earlier, somebody this morning read to you from the dream that Joseph had. And what an amazing situation Joseph must have been in. I mean, his fiancée goes away all of a sudden to visit a cousin in a faraway place. To the best of his knowledge, she's not pregnant. Months later, she comes back and she's great with child. So you can probably begin to process some of the things that he might have been thinking about her faithfulness to him. And as he's weighing all of these things out, he comes to the conclusion that as an honorable man, he'll put her away quietly. But the Lord intervenes, as he so often does, and he gives Joseph a dream. The Lord appears to him in a dream. I think I said an angel a minute ago, but actually the scripture says the Lord appeared to him. And it tells us in Matthew chapter 1, he said, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So in other words, Joseph, you have to put all the normal laws of biology aside, because this is not a natural birth, this is a supernatural birth. Now, I know what a lot of you guys think. Your kid or your grandkid, that child's the golden child. They're the anointed one, right? They're the perfect child, right? We sometimes think that until about 18 months. And then their sin nature begins to demonstrate itself. And then it's really confirmed when they turn about 12, right? Well, this is not one of those things where somebody kind of thought that this was a special child. No, the Lord said, this is an altogether different ballgame. The Holy Spirit is involved in this, and the Holy Spirit has overshadowed Mary, and she has conceived, and she's going to give birth to a son. In fact, this is what he says. He says, she will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. That's the Old Testament word Joshua, which means the Lord saves. You'll call his name the Lord saves. Why? Tells us here, for he will save his people from their sins. So inside the very heart of God, inside of the very mind of God, we see the ultimate purpose of the coming of Christ was that enveloped in the redemptive plan of God, God would send his very son who would live, and he would live as a man. God would humble himself. From the heights of heaven, he came to the lowly, dirty depths of earth. From glory, he came to the mundane. And he came and he lived among us, yet he did not live like us. Because we who are tarnished and tainted with sin know what it means to be fallen, but yet the Bible tells us that he was tempted in all ways in every manner, just like we are, yet he did not sin. He lived a perfect life for the purpose of not only glorifying his Father through obedience, for not only the purpose of giving us a moral example, but ultimately for the purpose of being an acceptable sacrifice. That when he laid down his life on the cross, that he would be an acceptable sacrifice, a penalty, a payment for our sins. I want you to imagine that you were around the Christmas tree at your house, and somebody gives you a gift, and you've got a series of gifts in front of you. And man, you open up the first gift, and it's really nice. It's one of those, you know, fitness watches. Whatever brand you want it to be, okay? It's my dream, so it's going to be an Apple Watch, okay? You can have a Garmin, or you can have a Vivo Fit, or whatever you want, Fitbit. And you're like, wow, this is really nice, because that's not an inexpensive gift. Like, this is a really nice gift. And then you move on to the next package. And then all of a sudden you open it up and it's one of those Withings Bluetooth scales. You're like, wow, you're kind of tacky, but it seems like you're kind of working an angle here. You know, they're like, well, it'll communicate with your watch, and so it'll tell you from the scale to your watch, you know, what your daily status is. Okay, cool. And then you open it up, a third gift. It's a small gift. It's an envelope, and it says, 1 year membership to Weight Watchers. You're like, okay, this is really generous, but I'm not sure I'm appreciative of your point. And then you open up the next one, and it's a 1 year membership to Planet Fitness. Now, let's psychoanalyze these gifts for a moment. Either this singular gift giver or these group of gift givers, I think, are trying to make a point. And the point, I think, is pretty obvious. The point is, maybe 2017 is like the year of the lesser you. You know, he must increase, I must decrease. You get the point. And then you begin to think about it and you think, well, these are gifts I really could benefit from and could use. You see, sometimes when a gift is given to us, that gift can demonstrate what that person thinks towards us. And it also, if that person has an intimate enough knowledge of us, it can demonstrate our needs. And so when we look at the gift that God gave us, when he says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins, there's something inside of you that if you think too highly of yourself, should be brought low right now. In fact, intentionally, if you think too highly of yourself, this should be at least slightly offensive to you. Because God just told you, you need saving. And if you need saving, it means that you are lost. I think many times we think, well, yeah, I think I kind of got this. I understand there are a lot of things going on in the world today, but man, I kind of got this. We live in this sort of moralistic, therapeutic, deistic world. I didn't think of those terms. Matt Chandler did, but it's this idea that we can just sort of pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, and the church is mostly there to make me feel good and kind of tell me what a good moral way to live is. And if they want to throw in a little God, well, that's good for everybody, but you know, I mean, come on. I mean, religion is the opiate of the people. So, and we kind of think that the religion doesn't have a worthwhile value. It doesn't have a deep meaning to it. But clearly, God has sent us a Savior because we most desperately need saving. He doesn't just say he sent us a Savior there, but he says he will save his people from their sins. So in other words, God is sending us someone. He is sending us the gift of forgiveness because we need to be forgiven. Because we have violated the holiness of God. And the fact that God has sent us a Savior tells us that we need saving. The fact that God has sent us a Redeemer tells us that we need to be redeemed. The fact that God has sent us one to forgive us means that we need to be forgiven. But watch this, the fact that God has sent us himself means that he loves us. Yes, we need saving. Yes, we need forgiveness. But don't miss this. I quoted to you a minute ago, Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his love toward us. Do you understand that today is a great celebration? Because we are commemorating and celebrating the fact that God loves us. We are such incredibly blessed people. Because there is nothing inside of me, there's nothing inside of you that would merit the affection of God. But yet God set his affection upon us because he chose to. And oh, joy. That's why we talk about the angels. You know, I'm okay with the little bit loose interpretation that we many times have of Luke chapter 2 where the angels, it doesn't say that they sang, it says that they proclaimed. Okay, so there's your trivia. Anybody says, what did the angels sing? Well, the Bible doesn't say the angels sang anything, but I'm okay with that interpretation. Because that which they are proclaiming has behind it the melody of heaven. And it's that God loves us. And unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Emmanuel. Which means God with us. And we are blessed because of the gift of God. And today at Christmas time, my hope and my prayer is that as you move from here to the rest of your holiday festivities, how many of you got a fantastic lunch waiting on you somewhere? Right? Some of you are like me. You're so full from breakfast, you don't even want to think about food. How many of you guys had too much to eat for breakfast? Okay, that's not very many of you. Wow. Well, don't worry. Just because I'm full doesn't mean I'm going to preach another 2 hours. In fact, I'm going to be incredibly short today. You know, God has blessed us, and what he has given us bears a response. How do you respond to someone who gave you something that is impossible to even put a price tag on? It so valuable. How do you respond to somebody who gave you an inordinately luxurious gift? Don't you hate it when somebody gives you a gift at the last second that you didn't buy a gift for? Like they just—I actually had somebody tell me that they do that on purpose, and I told her that that was wrong. She said, "Well, if they really loved me, they would want to get me a gift anyway, not just because I gave them one." This morning I received some fantastic, I cry every year at Christmas. I received some fantastic gifts from my kids. I don't mean to offend them by any of this, but watch this. There wasn't one single gift they gave me that I needed. Like it was a matter of, this is an essential in my life. Okay? Like I might have needed it in the sense that, oh, I really want this bad. But nothing that I needed in the sense that it was essential. But here's the thing. Every gift they gave me was precious. Even though I didn't need it, it was precious because it was from my kid. They gave me some wonderful, thoughtful gifts, but the reality is, and you know, had they done their best and given me a box of grass clippings and a shoebox with a cute little poem beside it, I would have loved it. Isn't that true if you ever had kids? That's why your Christmas tree is like my Christmas tree. It's filled with ornaments that were made by four-year-olds. And those things are treasures. Are they treasures because they're works of art? Well, they are works of art, but maybe not by a fully developed artist. They're treasures because of who gave them to you and what they mean to you. And the question is, what do we give back to a God who needs nothing? What do we give back to a God who has given us everything, such a luxurious, utterly invaluable gift, the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of redemption? What do we give back to him? Well, here's the thing you need to understand. Nothing that we give to him, he needs. But yet, because of his love and his affection for us, he values it. And it is precious to him. And so what do we give to him? We give to him our hearts. We give to him our lives. We give to him our times. And yes, I hope that today you'll give to him your holiday. That as you gather together with your family, that you'll find ways to weave the gospel in. Oh, go on, preach to them. They're okay. They'll be ready for it. For some of you, they're half expecting it anyway. Go on, love them. Love them with that irresistible love that the Father loved you with. Go on, be generous to them. Because when you do that, you're demonstrating how God is generous towards us. Be patient with them, because they'll annoy you sometimes. But isn't God patient with you? Listen to them. Don't dominate the conversation or make it about you. Isn't that how God is with us? Oh, today is a great opportunity for you to demonstrate the love of Christ. And my prayer is, church, that you would give back to God that not that which he needs, but that which is precious to him. Give to him your affection and your hearts. Give to him your worship and your life. That's what will make this year a fantastic Christmas. Let's pray together. Oh, Father God, we come now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for just the incarnation, Lord. Becoming God in the flesh. Lord, for saving us, for redeeming us, for loving us. God, not for sending another, but for coming yourself. We thank you. May our lives be filled with praise. May our day be centered around you. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.